Matthew 21, there are so many scriptures that I'm going to bring to your attention. I just want to get us started now. At this hour, it's Israel today. At the next one, it's Israel tomorrow. Understand, the message is Israel today. I've been telling you for weeks now about Israel. There was a time when there was no Israel. And then we found in Genesis chapter 12, you have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, his 12 sons, and then you have Israel. There was a time when Israel wasn't. There was a time when Israel was. And we'll see in Matthew chapter 21. I just want to get us started, and then we'll get other verses. You remember I read you about the Savior speaking the parable of the Father sending forth his servant to get fruit from the nation of Israel. They refused to give him fruit. Finally, he sent his son. Look at verse 38. But the husbandmen, when they saw the son, said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take his inheritance." And they took him and cast him forth out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the Lord of the vineyard shall come, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, "He will miserably destroy those miserable men and will let out the vineyard unto other husbandmen, who shall render him the fruits in their season." Jesus saith unto them, "Did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner? This was from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken away from you, and shall be given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof." And verse 44, because it will bring another verse to mind. "And he that falleth on this stone shall be broken to pieces, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will scatter him as dust." Chapter 23, this is just to get us started. Chapter 23, verse 37. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto her, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Notice, today and tomorrow, in that verse, "You shall not see me." That's today. "You shall not see me till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." That is tomorrow. The kingdom of God taken away from them, given to another nation, bringing forth the fruit thereof. Let us have a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful for the outline that you have given us of the history that you intend to have occur among the sons of men. We are thankful, our God, how we see your hand in it all. We are glad that you are Lord of heaven and of earth. We are thankful, Father, that while all things are cast into the lap, the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So teach us by thy Spirit just how you are working, your plans, your purposes. Our Father, we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I wonder if by a miracle anyone can tell me how many times the word Israel occurs in our King James Bibles. You say, "I don't believe in miracles anymore." Well, I will tell you. The word Israel Now, grasp, these things I'm trying to tell you are basic. There are so many things I want to tell you, I can't. But the word Israel occurs 70 times. I can show you, and no one would have any controversy about the fact that 69 of the times mean Israel, the nation of Israel, according to the flesh. Just like the Apostle Paul said, I also am an Israelite. He meant that he was of the tribe of Benjamin. Just as Jacob had 12 sons, and those sons composed the nation of Israel, the Apostle Paul said, I am an Israelite. So, of all the 69 times, let me give you another. When the Savior saw Nathanael, he said, Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there was no guile. So every time you read in the New Testament about Israel, God means Israel according to the flesh. Paul leaves no doubt. He says, My kinsman according to the flesh. Now, there is one occurrence of the word Israel, and if I've shown you from 69 instances what the word Israel means, what do you think the 70th one might conceivably mean? I see. And yet, when you read in Galatians 6, peace be unto the Israel of God, how do most people interpret that? As ourselves. Now, if you do that, you only have 69 other references that are condemning what you're saying. I take the Israel of God as being the Israel of God. Now, as we go along, I'm just going to tell you things, and you'll have to piece them together. In Romans 9, 10, and 11, you get Israel, past, present, and future. And it speaks of Israel, and our Savior verifies it as well in the Gospels. And speaking of Israel in the past, and in the present, and in the future, it says they are not all Israel that are of Israel. And so there is natural Israel and there is spiritual Israel. But please understand, when Paul says that, he says they are not all Israel that are of Israel. He said, but I am an Israelite. So when he's talking about Israel, he's talking about physical Israel. And when he's talking about spiritual Israel, it is the physical Israelite that has been born again and has become spiritual Israel. Now, grasp this. In Romans chapter 11, you have a tree with a root and with a trunk and with branches. I take it that the root is Abraham. And it says that we Gentiles are partakers of the root and of the fatness. For that same reason, you'll find in Ephesians chapter 2 that at one time we were strangers, alienated. We had no part of the promises and we had no part of the covenants. So here is this tree beginning with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Jacob puts out the 12 branches. And all of these are Israelites. And at that time, there was not any Gentile in that tree. But what happens is this, and you must grasp it. That tree is purely Israel from the root up until the time that I've been reading to you. The kingdom of God shall be taken away from you and given to another nation, bringing forth the fruit thereof. Understand this. That tree is Israel until the time that the Spirit of God descends at Pentecost and then the church occurs. Understand this. That tree then is composed not only of Israelites, but it is composed at the same time of Gentiles that have been grafted in. But the Israelites in that tree are spoken of as the remnant. Now, in the past, you had Israelites and you have Gentiles. That beginning on the day of Pentecost, until what time the stone comes back and falls upon that image, until that time you have neither Jew nor Gentile. The world is composed of Jew, Gentile, and the Church of God. And in the Church of God, the identity is lost, but still it is composed of Jews and Gentiles. Let me illustrate this. You'll find that in Romans 16, it speaks of the churches of the Gentiles. You say, you just told me that there are no Gentiles in the church. But then, if you go to Jerusalem, here were the churches of the Israelites. This is the physical identity. When you have a local church, understand this, we have a local church here in Fayetteville. It's made up mostly of Gentiles. If you went to Jerusalem in the day of James, it was a church, a local church, it was made up of Jews. But when God looks at the church, he doesn't look at a local church, he looks at the church in its entirety, and it's neither Jew nor Gentile. But it's made up of Jews and Gentiles. So please keep that in mind. If you're in the church, beginning at Pentecost, the church is going to be that group through which God will now work, as he worked through the nation of Israel. Now he's going to work through the church, and it will continue to be that way until what time the stone cut out without hands comes back and smites the image upon the toes, which enables me to bring in this now. I spoke of two things. In Luke 21, I told you about the times of the Gentiles. Do you remember those words? And I told you in Romans chapter 11, the fullness of the Gentiles. Do you remember those words? The times of the Gentiles started, and it's so easy to remember, with the golden head of that image. God said it. When Nebuchadnezzar took over, then the power of the Jews of Israel was put to an end, and Gentile dominion took the force. And that is going to continue until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And it is going to continue from that same image that God gave. You have the head of gold, you have the shoulders and arms of silver, the belly of brass, and you have the legs of iron, and the toes and the feet, part iron and part clay. And that image is going to continue until a stone that's cut out without hands comes and smashes that image upon the toes. And if all of these illustrations from that head, Babylonians, are they Israel? You say no. Medo-Persians? No. Greece? No. Rome? No. Well, what does that image represent? The times of the Gentiles. Beginning, if you want a date, 586 B.C., when Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed Jerusalem. It started earlier, but you put that date upon it. It begins, and here is Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold. And it's going to continue, the times of the Gentiles are going to continue, until the Lord Jesus Christ comes and smites that image in the toes. And that is when the times of the Gentiles shall be concluded. And that is when Israel will come upon the scene once more. But now, in Romans 11, it speaks about the fullness of the Gentiles, not the time. It's so easy to say the fullness of the Gentiles is the same as the times of the Gentiles. Time has to do with time. Fullness has to do with number. And so the fullness of the Gentiles is just like Israel and its fullness. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The fullness makes up the complement of the earth. And so God has certain Jews, Israelites, that are going to be saved. And God has certain Gentiles that are going to be saved. And God says, when the fullness of the Gentiles is accomplished, then he's going to work with Israel again. And so God at Israelites that he was saving in particular, but once in a while, Ruth the Moabitess would come in, Rahab the harlot would come in, but most of the time it was the Jewish nation. But then when that comes to an end, it is going to be Jew and Gentile, but a special emphasis upon the nation of Israel. Now, I've told you that, and I want you to grasp it. You say, yes, the times of the Gentiles, beginning with Nebuchadnezzar, continuing until Christ, who is that stone cut out without hands, comes at the very end and crushes the feet, the toes. You understand, the head is the beginning, the toes, the end. And it's only going to end when Christ comes back from heaven. It's going to end by power, by a blow administered to the nations of the world at that time, and then Christ will present himself to the nation of Israel. That is tomorrow. The Lord Jesus said, you shall not see me henceforth until. If he said, you're not going to see me henceforth, that would be the end of it. But he said, until you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So, the nation of Israel, who rejected Christ, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. I read to you, he came to get fruit from the vineyard. They killed him and cast him out. All right. The Lord Jesus said, your house is left unto you desolate. And therefore, not only the times of the Gentiles is working, but during that time, God still was working with the nation. You remember, under Ezra and Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, he was working with it. But now, we'll find that gradually, he's going to work through the Gentiles. And that is what I'm telling you about today. Israel today. I think it might be better if I told you about these things, but just as not at first was there a complete cutting off, but there was still overture after overture, and I will show you that. Turn to Acts 3. There are some things you must look at. There are some things you must use your mind a little bit to think about. And so, in Acts chapter 3, listen to this. Peter is preaching to the Israelites, and he says to them, in verse 19, he says, repent ye therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, and so there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who hath been appointed for you, even Jesus, whom the heavens must receive until the times of the restoration of all things. Now here is another time. The times of the restoration of all things. What times do you think that would be? One word. The what? Millennium. That's the times of the restoration. And it is offered to Israel now. But, let's see what happens. Turn to Acts 13. Acts 13. Look at these references. Verse 46. And Paul and Barnabas spake out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you. Seeing ye thrust it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Chapter 18. And look at verse 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook out his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Look at chapter 22, look at verse 21. Paul is speaking to the Jews, and he says, talking about what Christ said to him after his conversion, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee forth far hence unto the Gentiles. Now, chapter 28. Look at verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you that this salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. They also will hear. Have you got it now? I told you four times that it's not Israel, but who is it? Exactly. Now, Israel is not permanently set aside any more than the Gentiles, when God was working through the Jews, they weren't completely forgotten. But God was working primarily with Israel. But now, Israel is set aside and God is working with the Gentiles. But this is what is so difficult to grasp. The Lord Jesus told them in Matthew chapter 10, do not go and preach to any Gentiles. Leave the Samaritans alone. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But then I showed you in Matthew chapter 28, the Savior said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. You understand? All nations. And he said in Acts 1:8, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, on the day of Pentecost, to whom did Peter preach the gospel? Jews or Gentiles? Jews. In Acts chapter 3, to whom does he preach? Jews. You'll find that they will not preach the gospel to any of the Gentiles until there is the persecution of Paul, and then they are scattered, and some go and start preaching a little bit to the Gentiles. And finally, when the apostle Peter is told to go and preach to the Gentiles, he said, no, not so. He said, you know, it's unlawful for a man that is a Jew to come into the presence of any Gentiles. And yet the Lord had been telling him that, but the most difficult thing was to get a Jew to preach to a Gentile. Finally, Peter did preach, and this is what is so delightful. There's so much spoken about the invitation. You have to give a proper invitation. It says, while Peter was yet preaching, the Spirit of God fell upon those Gentiles that were listening, and the Spirit of God was imparted to them. Do you see? And so here is Peter. He is astounded. Now, turn to Acts 11. You must see this. Acts 11. Verse 1. Now, the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, you went in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. What was God's intention all along for him to do? To do that. And they're contending with him about it. Now, look at chapter 12. At verse 17, Peter relates his experience with the household of Cornelius and how the Spirit fell on them. Verse 17, if then God gave unto them the like gift as he did unto us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also hath God granted repentance unto life. He's been telling them that all along. All this time he's been saying, go to the Gentiles. And finally it dawns on them that God has granted to the Gentiles repentance unto life. Listen to Peter. He said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. Isn't that remarkable? So, the Jews in the present, he expects them to evangelize the world, to go to the Gentiles. Peter is the apostle to the circumcision, the Jew. Who is the apostle to the uncircumcision, the Gentile? The apostle Paul. But I read you in 13, I read you in 22, and I read you in 18 as well. He first went to whom? The Jew. And when they rejected it, he said, all right, I'm going to the Gentile. So even though Israel as a nation is set aside, gradually, do you remember in Acts 3, the kingdom was offered to them, the times of restoration again, that finally, gradually, it becomes complete until AD 70, when there's temple and city and they are scattered again among the nations, then it's completely gone. And so Israel today has no special privileges. God is no respecter of persons. Understand this? That if I challenge you, and this is what is so remarkable, in the Old Testament, give me some good gospel passages, some brother telling people how to be saved in the Old Testament. What message was given to Jews to be saved? I see. Well, give me some New Testament passages. Have you ever heard, you must be born again? Yes. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth, yes. Repent, yes. All of these things. Why? Because you'll find that the Israelites were in that tree, and they were constantly taught in the family day by day. They were circumcised, and this is most important. They were in that tree growing up, physical Israel, and God expected along the way for them to be converted. This is what it says concerning Timothy. From an infant thou hast known the holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. But the circumcision of that little child at 8 days did not convert him, did not make him an Israelite indeed. It was a physical token that he was part of that covenant nation, but it did not convert him. But understand that he was in that tree, and this is what is so important, and grasp this. Here is the tree, and every Israelite that ever was descended from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Zebulun, Issachar, all of his sons, all of them are branches in that tree, and they stay in that tree until they absolutely refuse and take a set stand against Christ. And it says they were broken off through what? Unbelief. But they are there. Because they're in the tree does not mean that they're Israelites indeed. But since they are Israelites, they are in that tree. And inasmuch as Gentiles are outside that tree, you'll never get in until you are born again. When you believe, you are grafted into that tree. And so now, from the day of Pentecost until the time that Christ comes back as that stone cut out with that hand and smites upon the toes, that tree is growing, and the Israelites that have utterly rejected Christ, what happens to them? They're broken off. The Israelites, like the Apostle Paul and Peter and Andrew and James and John that are in that tree, they remain there and they become Israelites indeed. So understand, when somebody talks about a person being broken out of that tree in Romans 11, does it mean that he was saved and then he got lost? Not at all. He was never saved. He was in that tree because he was a physical descendant of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his sons. He's there. But when there is a definite rejection of Christ, then they're no longer spoken of as sons of Abraham spiritually. But the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8, you are of your father, the devil. I see. He said, I know that you're the seed of Abraham. Is that spiritual or physical? That's physical. But he said, spiritually, you are of your father, the devil. He said, if God were your father, you would love me. He said, if you were Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham. He's talking in a twofold way. They are not all Israel that are of Israel. And yet, please notice, if they are Israelites, they are Israel. But it says they are not all Israel that are of Israel. And so for that reason, when I read about the Israel of God, I take it as the Savior looked at Nathanael and said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Here is the Israel of God. Here is the Apostle Paul who said, I am an Israelite. This is the Israel of God. In the Church of Jesus Christ that is composed of Jews and Gentiles, those Jews are looked upon as the Israel of God. Because God has never lacked from the time that Abraham believed in Genesis 15 until this day, some Israelites that believed. Even a man of the perception of Elijah told God, there's only one left. I'm the only one left. God said he had how many? 7,000. But think, they were so few, they were so hidden, that even Elijah was unaware of it. But was God aware of it? Why, of course. It's one thing to know the Lord. I know whom I believed. But even better than that, some of us say we know the Lord, but that's wrong. It says in 2 Timothy 2, when some people have their faith overthrown, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Elijah said, I'm the only one. God said, oh no, I have 7,000 more. So, the word, and you have to remember it because you'll find it in Isaiah and throughout the Old Testament, the word remnant, remnant, and that remnant is spiritual Israel. You are not a part of that remnant. You are a Gentile if you have trusted Christ as Savior, who has been grafted in where those unbelieving Israelites have been broken out, because they are not all Israel that are of Israel. And so today, God has no special message for Israel. He has no special message for Gentiles. He has the same message. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You must be born again. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. You do not go and cater to the Jews as something special today. You do not speak to the Gentiles as something special and cater to them. Because now, in Romans 11, they're getting filled with conceit. They say this, why yes, the Jews were broken off that we might be grafted in. Paul said, don't be filled with such pride. Don't you understand? Yes, because of their unbelief they were broken off, and because of your faith you were grafted in. He said, but just as you and your descendants, if they are not believers, you can be broken off. And if these Israelites believe again, they can be grafted in. Think of one who rejected Christ as Savior, and then all of his children are born that way. And yet his children believe. What happens to them? They are grafted back in. And this is what God is telling us. So, now, let us turn to Ephesians 3, first of all. Ephesians 3, because this is what is happening. And it's been a mystery. That's the remarkable thing. Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause, verse 1, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, in behalf of you Gentiles, if so be you have heard of the dispensation of that grace of God which was given me to youward, how that by revelation was made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, whereby when you read, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known unto the sons of men, as it hath now been revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, to wit. Now, this is the mystery. Look first, because there are four parts to it. So look in chapter 2. Look at chapter 2 and verse 19. So then you are no more strangers and sojourners, but are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Remember fellow, because it occurs four times. First of all, fellow citizens. Now, look at chapter 3 and look at verse 6. To wit, that the Gentiles are fellow citizens, are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Now, if you had read in Matthew chapter 23, this is what happened when a Jew went out and sought to save some other nation. He was called a proselyte. And the Lord Jesus said, you compass sea and earth to make one proselyte. And when you do, you make him more a child of hell than yourselves. But the Jews made proselytes. And in the temple, there was the court of the Gentiles. Even though they were proselytes, yes, even though they had submitted to circumcision, they still were not fellow members. They were proselytes and they had limited privileges. But now, since we, as Gentiles, under this dispensation, when the gospel is preached to us, all of those distinctions are obliterated, and we are fellow citizens. fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Absolutely no distinction. Then only the high priest could draw nigh. It says, let us therefore draw near with boldness to the throne of grace. In the Old Testament, only of the tribe of Levi, of the family of Aaron, were there priests. But it says five times that we are priests. Twice in 1 Timothy 2, in Revelation 1, in Revelation 5, in Revelation 20, it says we are priests, a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood. And therefore as priests, I have access unto God. And what God desired in Exodus 19 that was never realized in Israel is now realized in his church. We are all priests. Jew, Gentile, we are all priests. We all have access to God in the spiritual sense. So, now look at chapter 2 of Ephesians, because this is what happened. This is what happened. In the past, look at 11. Let's get the past. I told you about Israel in the past and in the present and the future. Here we are, we Gentiles in the past. Wherefore, remember that once ye, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that you were at that time separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's what we were in the past. But we trusted Christ as Savior. Look at verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you that once were far off are made nigh in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both one and break down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself of the two one new man, so making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body unto God through the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you that were far off, Gentiles, and peace to them that were nigh, Israelites. For through him we both have our access in one spirit unto the Father. So then, you are no more strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, this is the picture. What we Gentiles were in the past and what we are now. And it's not we are proselytes, but we have the full privileges. We are fellow citizens. We are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So there is no distinction. In Corinthians, we read that there is the Jew, the Gentile, the church of God. Give no offense to Jew, Gentile, or church of God. But in the church of God, as God looks at it spiritually, we are all one. And that is Israel today. In the church, they are the Israel of God. They are that remnant, but there are no distinction. And their privileges and ours, but that is another story. Israel tomorrow, and time is gone. So let us pray. Now, Father, that was said to us that your ways are past tracing out. We confess it. We have marveled at the way that you have had plans, and then we've marveled at the way that you would have those plans executed. But everything is doing and is going just as you have prepared it and purposed it. We thank you for this. So, our Father, let us remember these things. Let us be humbled that whereas once we were alienated, separate, now we are made nigh. We are those that are beloved in Christ. We are accepted in the beloved. So let these things fill our hearts, and let us remain humbled and not be filled with pride. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.